Hey there, welcome to the program. My name is Gary Zimek, and it is a pleasure to join you today as we look at the Mass readings for the third Sunday of Advent. The theme this week, rejoice, he's almost here. Now, this weekend, you're going to see, if you go to Mass, you're going to see the pink, or technically the rose-colored candle being lit. And the church does that during the third week of Advent, on the third Sunday of Advent, to remind us of the joy that we should have because Jesus is almost with us. We've got one more Sunday of Advent. Next week is the fourth Sunday of Advent. And then a few days later, midweek, it's going to be Christmas Day. And that joy will really kick in when we celebrate the birth of Jesus. So I invite you to sit back, to relax, to grab a beverage or a snack, whatever you need to do as we look at these Mass readings. And, there's a sub-theme that emerges from the readings as well. And that's a theme of perseverance. Depending on the year, there's three different liturgical cycles. Depending on what year it is, the readings are going to be slightly different. The first reading, the responsorial psalm, the second reading, and the gospel are all different in each liturgical year. So you're going to see a different variation, but there is a depending on the year, but there is this underlying message, in addition to rejoice, of perseverance, of keep going. This is the third week of Advent. You know, this is the time when we might be getting a little burned out. The church wants to remind us to hang in there. This is all going to be worth it. On the other side of the prayer, we're going to talk a little bit more about what we're trying to do this Advent. And because I don't want you to forget that. It's easy. This is another problem that can arise. We can forget why we're doing what we're doing during the Advent season. We don't want to do that. But it can happen. We just go along. We do something. It almost becomes routine. Now that we're in the third week, we could lose our focus. We don't want to lose our focus. So we'll talk about that after we pray. With that in mind, why don't we turn to our Father in heaven and lift our voices in prayer. Please join me. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Dear Father in heaven, thank you. Thank you for being present with us now. Father, we know that you are with us. We know, Father, that you can hear us. We know that you can see us. We know that you love us. We know that you have been watching over us and providing for all of our needs from the moment we were first conceived. Otherwise, we would cease to exist. So the fact that we're alive, Father, proves that you have taken care of us. And we're thankful for that. Father, we ask you to continue to watch out for us, for our families, for our friends, for all of those we've promised to pray for those who have specifically asked us to pray for them. We pray for peace and around the world, especially in those areas where war and terrorism are ways of life. We pray for those living in extreme poverty. We pray for those who are homeless or possibly confined to an institution, a hospital, a prison, a nursing home, a rehab facility. We pray, Father, for those who don't know you. We pray for those who are just completely lost, directionless, don't know anything about you or Jesus. We pray for them that they may be able to discover who you are and enter into a relationship with you. Father, I also ask you to send out your Holy Spirit upon me. I'm going to need your help today. Please give me the words for this program. I know you have a message for us. Please help me to deliver that message. Let me know what you want me to say. And also, Father, please open all of our hearts and all of our minds so that we would be willing to hear what you have to say and respond with our actions. Father, we ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, amen. As always, thank you for praying with me. I'm very grateful. You know, I don't take you for granted. I really don't. I am so thankful that you listen to this program. And I'm thankful to the numerous podcast services which provide this show. I'm also grateful to the Catholic radio stations around the country who air it over the air, who broadcast the program over the air, I should say. And I'm grateful to you for coming each week to listen. I'm grateful for your prayers, for your kind wishes, and for your donations to keep my ministry going. I'm very thankful to so many people who make this show possible. So believe it or not, we are in the third week of Advent. Before we go on, I want to direct you to my website, followingthetruth.com. I'm going to say it's still not too late to pick up a copy of my book, Find Peace in Advent, 4 Weeks to Worrying Less at Christmas. You can still pick it up and just pick up from wherever we are right now, and then you can use it for next year. It's the type of book that just can be used each year. I've been doing a lot of radio interviews, some TV interviews about the book. I've been leading Advent parish missions, which reminds me, I still have openings for Lent of 2025. I've been explaining this to you over the past few weeks, how my wife wasn't feeling well, and I had canceled all my 2025 bookings. Now she's doing better, and we both decided that it's not time for me to pack it in yet, so I'm going to see what I can get in 2025. I've got a lot of inquiries so far, and some dates nailed down, but there's still plenty of openings too. So if you would like me to bring me to your parish, either for a Give Up Worry for Lent parish mission, or for Stop Worrying and Start Living mission, or a talk, or next Advent for Find Peace in Advent, you can find out how to do that by going to my website, followingthetruth.com. Just get in touch with me. Let's talk it over. I'll give you the requirements, how we can make this happen, and then we'll talk some dates, and I'll be able to, God willing, come to your parish or your conference and deliver the good news. I would love to do that. So that's followingthetruth.com. While you're at my website, don't forget to sign up for my free daily email reflection, Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled. Right now, I am focusing on my book, Find Peace in Advent. We're doing a daily Advent theme. But as soon as Advent's over, we're going to get back in touch with the liturgical direction provided by the church. We'll go back into the Christmas season, then we'll go back into ordinary time briefly. And before you know it, we'll be in Lent. It'll be time for Give Up Worry for Lent. So why don't you sign up for that email reflection now while you can. Followingthetruth.com is the place to go. You can also find links to purchase all of my books while you're at the website as well. Okay, let me take a sip of water. I think I did one long run-on sentence there. At least it felt like it. I felt like some of St. Paul's writings. You know, as somebody who's a lector at Mass, there's times when I'm thinking, man, where is the comma or the period in this sentence? You just don't know where Paul is going with it sometimes. But anyway, that's what I felt like. Today's readings, before, they're not overly long, so I have a couple of minutes to really set the stage before we get into it. We're in the third week of Advent, and I mentioned this idea of perseverance. We start out typically, at least I do, with a bang. You know, if you're going to take your Advent seriously, the first week is focused on the message of, all right, wake up, now's the time to get busy. The second week, we are introduced to John the Baptist. And the message then is prepare. So, you know, they do overlap, wake up and prepare. The messages do overlap. But when I looked at each of the weekly Mass readings for the Sunday Masses during Advent, these are the themes that emerged. And I try to separate them out so that we can be as clear as possible in our minds to know what we're doing each week of Advent. So we've got wake up, we've got prepare. And this week, the church helps us with the message of rejoice. Rejoice. The Savior will soon be here. And almost, I don't want to call it a sub-message, but almost a co-message for rejoice is persevere. Hang in there. Keep going. Because you know what can happen? We can look at the light at the end of the tunnel, which is Jesus coming on December the 25th. So what we've been doing is preparing to welcome him. We're doing what we can so that we can welcome him more fully into our lives on December the 25th. And the danger we can run into is that we can just let up a little bit and think, well, I did pretty good. Now I can relax. We don't want to relax because we still got plenty of Advent left. We don't want to relax. We want to persevere. We want to remember what we're doing. And that's one of the the problems that we can run into in failing to persevere. We can forget why we're doing what we're doing, sort of like what Martha did when she was serving Jesus and the other guests. She lost sight of what she was doing, and as a result, what happened? She became anxious and troubled about many things. She went to Jesus. She said, hey, my sister's not helping me. Tell her to help me. Make her do something. And Jesus sort of reprimanded Martha. He didn't tell her she was wrong, but what he said was, Martha, you're worried. You're anxious about many things. One thing is needed. Mary has chosen the better part. He didn't say Martha was wrong and Mary was right. He said what Mary was doing was better. And what she was doing was spending time with Jesus, listening to him, being in his presence. Martha lost sight of the fact that she was in the presence of Jesus. And I think most commentators who have looked at that story of Martha and Mary in the Bible have concluded that this is a reminder that we have to balance the contemplative life and the active life. So we need some time spending with Jesus in prayer and some time actively doing something that resulted from the grace that flowed from that prayer. You know, it's twofold. You can't just pray all the time. Even people in monasteries, they work as well. So it's a combination of prayer and work. And that's what the Lord expects from us. So as we go through this Advent season, as we basically go into the second half of it, we want to make sure that we are doing the work, that we're spending time, intentionally making time for Jesus every day to work on connecting with him, listening to him, and we do that through the daily Mass readings. We can do that through the daily Mass readings. And then somehow responding to what he tells us. And the goal is for us to decrease and let him increase. You know, the words of John the Baptist, who we will see in the gospel today. We'll see John the Baptist. He famously said, Jesus must increase, I must decrease. And that's really what we as Christians are called to do. We're called to be more like Jesus and less like us. That doesn't mean we give up our personality. It means we choose to let Jesus work through us and therefore be Jesus to those around us. And in doing so, we carry on his work, which is what he wants us to do. So that's a little synopsis of where we are in Advent and why we're doing what we're doing. So why don't we do this? Let's look at the gospel for the third Sunday of Advent, as we do on the show each week. In case you're a first-time listener, I start with the gospel, and then I back up and look at the readings the church has chosen to supplement or support the gospel. Today's gospel is from Luke chapter 3, verses 10 through 18. The crowds asked John the Baptist, "What should we do?" He said to them in reply, "Whoever has two cloaks should share with the person who has none, and whoever has food should do likewise." Even tax collectors came to be baptized, and they said to him, "Teacher, what should we do?" He answered them, "Stop collecting more than what is prescribed." Soldiers also asked him, "And what is it that we should do?" He told them, "Do not practice extortion, do not falsely accuse anyone, and be satisfied with your wages." So you could see in the first part of this gospel passage, John the Baptist is giving advice to different groups of people on how they should prepare for the coming of Jesus. And really what that reminds us of is the fact that each of us, based on our circumstances and our state in life, we're called to prepare for Jesus in a slightly different way. I mean, the idea is we're preparing, we're changing some of the practices in our lives that may have taken us away from Jesus, but that preparation is going to look different in each of our lives. I'm probably preparing in a different way than you are. And that's fine. That's the beautiful thing about the personal nature of our faith. Each one of us is called to meet Jesus or to prepare for Jesus in the midst of our circumstances, wherever we are in life, wherever he has placed us. It's going to look different for a monk than it is for a layperson, such as myself. It's going to look different for a single person than for a married person. So we all have different ways to prepare for Jesus. And essentially what we're going to have to do is, with the help of the Holy Spirit, is ask, Lord, what can I do? What do I need to change, Lord, in order to more fully welcome you into my life? And that is something the Holy Spirit can help you with. A lot of times we get confused or maybe discouraged when we'll say a prayer like that and don't necessarily get a concrete answer. Sometimes it takes a little time, and you know, we got to work at it, because we don't, when we're praying for an answer like that, the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, we're not typically going to get an audible voice that tells us exactly what to do. We're going to get a feeling or a thought, a message, an internal message. Sometimes it can come from somebody else, or we'll see it in Scripture, but it's something that we really need to pay attention to. But the key is, especially in this third week when there is a tendency to sort of slack off and take the foot off the gas pedal a little bit, the reminder for us is to keep going. This is very important to prepare for Jesus. We have to keep going. And okay, now the people were filled with expectation, and all were asking in their hearts whether John might be the Christ. John answered them all, saying, I am baptizing you with water, but one mightier than I is coming. I am not worthy to loosen the thongs of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fan is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. Exhorting them in many other ways, he preached good news to the people. So if you see here in this gospel, we're going to hear more of this rejoice message in the first two readings. The people were filled with expectation. So we also see a theme of hope. They expect something to happen, something good to happen. They're asking whether John is the Christ. I mean, they know the Messiah is coming. They don't know it's going to be Jesus. It's easy for us to look back and to just assume that, oh yeah, they should have known. Well, they didn't. This was all new to them. And John answered them all, saying, I'm baptizing you with water, but one mightier than I is coming. I'm not worthy to loosen the thongs of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fan is in his hand to clear the threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn. In other words, he's going to be responsible. He's going to be coming again one day in glory. The Savior is. And exhorting them in many other ways, he preached good news to the people. He gave them good news. What do you do with good news? You rejoice. So John the Baptist is pointing to the coming of Jesus, telling people to get ready. First reading. Shout for joy, O daughter. Oh, it's from Zephaniah chapter 3, verses 14 through 18. Shout for joy, O daughter Zion. Sing joyfully, O Israel. Be glad and exult with all your heart, O daughter Jerusalem. The Lord has removed the judgment against you. He has turned away your enemies, the King of Israel. The Lord is in your midst. You have no further misfortune to fear. On that day, it shall be said to Jerusalem, fear not, O Zion, be not discouraged. The Lord your God is in your midst. A mighty Savior, he will rejoice over you with gladness and renew you in his love. He will sing joyfully because of you as one sings at festivals. This is really interesting because Zephaniah is giving good news to the people and saying, shout with joy, people of God, the Savior is coming. But then it's really neat when toward the end of this Old Testament passage, he writes, fear not, O Zion, be not discouraged, right? That's that theme of perseverance. Fear, don't be discouraged. Don't give up hope. Keep on keeping on. Keep waiting. He's coming. Rejoice. And then he said, the Lord your God is in your midst. A mighty Savior, he will rejoice over you. He's got God rejoicing over the people as well. And that is a really cool thought, that the Lord Jesus, as we prepare to grow closer to him, during the Advent season, which is what we're trying to do. He's rejoicing because he wants to be closer to us. The only thing blocking him from getting closer to us is us. You know, because love is a mutual decision. Love's not one way. So he loves us. I've got to find a way and do whatever is necessary to make sure I love him. And that's what we're doing by preparing. So as much as you think that you want a closer relationship with Jesus, he wants it even more, which is an unbelievable thought. Isn't that really good? And that is just another reason, maybe the main reason to rejoice for us, because, wow, Jesus wants to be more intimately involved in my life. And, you know, there's a lot of benefits that comes from a deeper relationship with Jesus. The main one, obviously, is salvation. We're going to be able to live with him forever in heaven. But that peace that we can feel here in this life as well, that is just unbelievable. So that, what a great gift to have that relationship with Jesus. The responsorial psalm, typically it comes from a psalm. This week, and this happens sometimes, it's actually taken from the book of the prophet Isaiah. Quite a big figure in the readings for Advent is the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 12, beginning in verse 2, "Cry out with joy and gladness." See that rejoice theme? "For among you is the great and holy one of Israel. God indeed is my Savior. I am confident and unafraid. My strength and my courage is the Lord, and he has been my Savior. With joy you will draw water at the fountain of salvation. Give thanks to the Lord. Acclaim his name. Among the nations make known his deeds. Proclaim how exalted is his name. Sing praise to the Lord for his glorious achievement. Let this be known throughout all the earth. Shout with exultation, O city of God, for great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel. Cry out with joy and gladness, for among you is the great and Holy One of Israel." Praise the Lord, right? This is a good thing. Get excited, get happy, because if you continue to work toward that closer relationship with Jesus Christ, which is what we're doing during Advent, you're going to be rewarded. It's going to pay off. Your hard work will be rewarded. Let's look at the second reading now. And you know, this is really good stuff, really good stuff. And in fact, the first verse, this reading now, the second reading is from St. Paul's letter to the Philippians, chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. The first part of this is used as the entrance antiphon for the Mass, because this sets the rejoice theme. "Rejoice in the Lord always," Paul writes. "I shall say it again, rejoice. Your kindness should be known to all. The Lord is near." See that? We're rejoicing because he is near. He is so close to us. Have no anxiety at all, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, make your request known to God. And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Boy, you talk about an unbelievable passage, a Bible passage, for those of us who struggle with anxiety. I'm just going to read that again, because this is a reminder. We all need to hear it, especially if you're like me and you have that tendency to be anxious, if you have a tendency to worry. Listen to these words written by St. Paul. "Rejoice in the Lord always. I shall say it again, rejoice." He wants to make sure we understand. So he says it more than once. "Your kindness shall be known, should be known to all. The Lord is near. Have no anxiety at all. But in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, make your request known to God. Then the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." The reason that's such a great passage is because it gives us not only a plan of action for dealing with the stress of life, and that's pray instead of worrying, right? Don't have any anxiety, but instead, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, why can you be thankful before your prayer is answered? Because you know it will be answered, maybe not always in the way you want, but you know that because the Lord is near, as stated in the beginning of this passage, he's going to hear your prayers. So you can be thankful that your prayers are heard, and then make your request known to God. And then the peace, this is what happens. So you do that. You pray instead of worry. What do you get? The peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. That means that the peace that surpasses all understanding means that sometimes you're not going to understand this peace. It's not going to make sense why you're at peace. Did you ever have that happen? I know I have. You got all these problems, you pray about them, maybe you go to sleep, you wake up the next day and you think, wow, I still got the problems, but I'm feeling pretty good. Or, this has happened to me sometimes, you go to Mass. You bring your problems with you to Mass, you encounter Jesus, you worship the Father, you encounter Jesus at Mass, and all of a sudden you start to feel a little bit better. Maybe not a lot better, but you get a bigger sense of, a greater sense of peace. That's what happens when you pray instead of worry. It really is a great, boy, that is a great summary about and a reminder for those of us who tend to worry. Instead of worrying, pray. We know the Savior is near. Yes, technically, we're going to prepare to welcome him on Christmas, but he's with you right now. But, you know, that's the Advent is, it's a concrete set of steps to help us to take our time and prepare to meet the Lord. I mean, really, every day can be an Advent. You wake up, you might have some problems, you turn to the Lord, you try to get closer to him, you're going to feel some peace. He will respond to your prayers. But as we progress down the church-led road, the road the church leads us down during Advent, we're preparing for that day, December the 25th. We want to make sure that we sufficiently prepare so that we're ready. So do this for me. Keep it up. Let's keep going. God willing, next week I'll be back and we'll talk about the fourth week of Advent. We're going to get there. Jesus is coming soon. Rejoice. He's going to make a difference in your life. Thank you so much for listening. Remember my website, followingthetruth.com. Stop on over. If you could leave me a donation, I would appreciate it. I'm praying for you. Please pray for me. God bless you. See you next time. Bye-bye.